shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. A big thank you to Paul Gilmartin. I was on his podcast today. It's called The Mental Health Happy Hour. Look for it, because there's stuff that I divulge on this interview with Paul. And what he does, he's a comic, but what he does is he interviews people from the entertainment business, but it's a real in-depth discussion of what makes you, what was your childhood like, and what makes you tick, and what makes you not tick, and what makes you talk, as in tick talk, only tick, T-I-C-K, talk, T-A-L, never mind. All right, we have news to report this evening of a cultural nature, and it occurred this weekend at the Coachella Valley Music Festival. Quite a moment, a technological moment, and one that was tweeted and one that went viral, and all of those terms that you hear, those are significant terms, because it essentially means that there's something afoot in the culture, and it's boom, it's exploded. This has got really not so much to do with music as it does with the technology that was involved in creating a hologram. And when I say hologram, I mean that in every sense of the Star Trek term. You're looking at a three-dimensional figure moving around and seemingly interacting with real people. And that's what happened this past weekend in Coachella at the music festival there, where they have 75,000 people out to see a lot of different acts. I think Radiohead played this past weekend. Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and a hologram of Tupac Shakur. And to talk with us about that is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association and the Western Estates Parent Teachers Organization. Not exactly a person I'm going to get on the air with, Bobby, to talk about Tupac Shakur and hip-hop, but you saw it, right?
Well, we did see it, Phil, and, we're very involved in... we're very much involved in youth culture. We have three sons, and it just so happens that Steve and I are interested in the things that our sons are interested in. We didn't say, oh, let's get interested in hip-hop because that's going to be something our kids are going to be interested in. We just naturally are, I guess you could say, we tend in those directions. We think young. I like to think that we take care of ourselves to the point where we look young. And I don't mean that in the literal sense, but as
young as you can look.
As young as we can look, yeah. And not a lot of parents do that. I see a lot of parents who really aren't, they're not with it. They're not with what the kids are, dancing to and interested in. And Steve and I are.
So did you? You weren't at the show. I mean, the concert.
No, we were not. We were not in Coachella because of the things that we had. We had commitments here. Otherwise, we would have been there. We go to the concerts, and again, we don't go to these concerts so that we look like we're all young. And we go because it just happens to be something that we like. And
so are you, would you say that your two parents then, you have sons, what are the ages of your sons?
Dylan, Seth, and Justin, and they're all in high school now. Justin is our youngest, he's 14. Seth is a junior at 16, and Dylan is a senior at 17.
And are they all hip-hop fans?
I don't think you'll find a kid today, Phil, that isn't. They love all of it. It changes, as you know. The different artists, they like Lil Wayne, and I don't know, Steve, you've heard
Lil Wayne is great.
They like Drake, and groups like that, and Nicki Minaj, they like, and so I think, but the kids like.
Do they like Radiohead?
I think Radiohead is a little older. They're more into Buck Cherry, I think, and Steve likes Buck Cherry. I like. What's the group that I like? Three Doors Down. I like Three Doors Down. So, who do you like, Steve?
I like Buck Cherry, and also, yeah.
So, I don't think you're going to find a lot of parents that can talk with you the way I'm talking with you right now, that we know these groups. I don't have to go ask my son, oh, you know, Dylan, what's the name of a group that I would like? No, we already know what we like. And
But you weren't at the concert, so I'm wondering how it is that you saw the Tupac hologram.
Well, it was on Ustream.
Yeah, they had the whole show on Ustream.
I see. Okay, so you watched it on video?
Yeah, we watched it on Ustream, and it was wonderful. We did see Radiohead, by the way, on Ustream, but when the Tupac hologram happened, it was, Phil, it's hard to describe this for people that probably don't get it, but, and I tried to talk to some of the parents here when we had our meeting, we had a homeowners meeting this morning, and we're going to have another one tomorrow, and I tried this morning, and probably I shouldn't have. I tried to tell the parents, a lot of the older people assembled, we saw a hologram of Tupac, and they're all, you know, who's Tupac? And I just sort of waved my hand, and I said, let's get down to business.
Well, it sort of stands the reason they're not going to know, some of them.
I know, but, you know, hope springs eternal, as Steve said.
Yeah, you always hope that maybe one of them isn't so lame.
But, you know, a lot of them are lame, and I mean that, you know, in the kindest possible way, but a lot of them are pretty lame. So
when you brought up this hologram, and I want to get back to watching this hologram, but I'm just interested. When you brought this hologram up at your homeowners association meeting, this hologram of Tupac at the Coachella Valley Music Festival, what the response was, they didn't know who he was.
Yeah, it was what you would expect, because parents like Steve and I we're pretty rare. You know, there just aren't a lot of parents like us who are with it and understand and get it about all of the different hip hop and the music. So I thought, well, let's try it. Let's roll the dice and see if there's anybody in this meeting that Steve and I, just forget about the kids, that Steve and I could actually have, you know, a friendship with, a relationship with, apart from me being the Homeowners Association president, because as the Homeowners Association president, I have to be in touch with everyone, even if they're people that, you know, they don't really get it about a lot of the youth culture.
Yeah, but you got to be friendly with them because of the kids.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
You have to be friendly with them.
You have to be friendly with them because of the kids. They interact.
Okay.
So I rolled the dice, and I said, Steve and I saw the Tupac hologram. Nothing. So that's when I just backed off.
So you looked out there, and no one understood. Did you bother to, I guess, you know, you could explain it.
Well, you could, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could.
It's a waste of your time, I guess. But let's get back to...
It really is a big waste of time.
Let's get back to the hologram. So tell me about it. And from your perspective watching this, it interacted with Snoop Dogg, correct?
Yeah. You just said that sort of like a lot of the parents. I don't mean anything by that. So it interacted. He sounded kind of awkward there.
It interacted in the sense that it was dancing.
But you don't really want to call it because it was Tupac, as we all remember him, dancing. And then Snoop Dogg came out, and he rapped along with the Tupac hologram, who also rapped, but it was together.
I remember Natalie Cole doing Unforgettable with her father, Nat King Cole.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that, but...
What was that again, Bill?
It was Nat King Cole.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Well, he was a very, very big singer in the 50s.
That's way before.
But I mean, the song came out. Natalie Cole is his daughter, is what I'm saying, and she re-recorded this as a duet with her father, who has passed on.
Well, I guess yeah. In a way, it was sort of like that. I don't know the people you're talking about. I don't want to compare it to that because this was Tupac Shakur and Snoop Dogg. This was monumental. And I don't know what you're talking about, whether that...
Well, it certainly was not a hologram. What it was to bring to life Nat King Cole for one more go-round along with the voice of his daughter. It was rather moving. It was significant. Here's his daughter singing with him. He's passed on. So the image, or excuse me, the illusion, I guess, of him being alive.
Well, it's a recording, though, right?
Yeah, they recorded it.
Yeah, it's a recording, but then so is the Tupac hologram.
Well, but the difference is you're not going, oh, look, that's a recording. You're going, oh, my God. Because when I saw it, and you can ask Steve, I remember I called out to Steve. I said, Steve, and he came running in. And I was feeling, I could feel my heart racing. I felt my hands getting a little clammy. And I literally had to hold on to my husband for support. I thought I was going to not faint, but I just had that sense of, my God, I'm looking at history. Am I really here? Am I real?
Yeah, that's something you can't explain to a lot of parents here.
A lot of the people that live here just don't really get it about, you know, being with it as a parent and.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about it with Bobby and Steve Dooley here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Hang on, Bobby and Steve, as they are discussing with us being the only two parents there at Western Estates and maybe in their kids' school that sort of get it about hip-hop music. They like a lot of it. They listen to a lot of it, I guess. And this past weekend, a technologic first, I believe, Tupac Shakur was on stage at the Coachella Valley Music Festival as a hologram. Now, this man has been dead and buried for many years, over a decade, and yet there he was hologram style on stage, and it was quite a conversation starter around the internet over the weekend. Our number is 877-876-7445. If you're one of those parents that would have stared at the Dooleys with your jaw open like, what do you mean by a hologram of Tupac? Or maybe you get it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us on the line from Western Estates, California, as we talk about the Tupac Shakur appearance as a hologram. And, Bobby, you wanted to make a point about the talk radio audience?
You want to do that?
Yeah, no, I'll do it. The point that I wanted to make with your audience, Phil, and a lot of the talk radio that I do, I was on the Ken Burmeister show on KABC, was it?
Yeah, no, there.
And you really have to slow down, and I'm not saying talk radio audiences are not intelligent, but culturally, I find a lot of them are not up to speed, and then. When you put on top of that the fact that I'm a parent, Steve is a parent, and there may be other parents out there who are really very much with it in terms of the youth culture. We have the kids to our house. We let our kids listen to hip-hop because, you know, we like it too. We have moral dilemmas. We want to remain friends with our kids, and we want to remain friends with our kids' friends. You know, we want our house to be the house that the kids come to. Does that mean, and please understand what I'm saying here, Phil, because it really, you know, it's something that needs to be heard very carefully. Does that mean that we tolerate a little bit of, I wouldn't call it drug use.
What's that about marijuana?
The marijuana use, yeah, weed, as the kids call it, or kush, or chronic. The kids will say, we want to blast up. The kids will say, herb. Those terms. We use the term herb.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. You tolerate the smoking of weed?
I don't want to say that we do. I don't want to say that we don't. What we do is we don't come down on the kids. Like, you know, like the kids will say, like the man.
Yeah, we don't bust down on him like the manager.
And we don't.
I'm having a hard time hearing your husband. I didn't hear you, sir.
What Steve basically said was, we don't bust down on the kids like the man.
Like the man, like the police?
Like the police, yeah. Where do you draw the line when you are a very relevant parent? When you are very much very relevant and you're friends with your kids, Where do you draw the line? Where do you say, you know what, I don't want you to smoke what is really a very harmless drug, the herb.
Harmless drug. First of all, regardless of whether it's a harmless drug.
Hold on for that, because, you know, and you know that I love you, Phil, but when we came on the program tonight, we really didn't want to be lectured to, and here's why. Let me just say.
Well, I'm not lecturing. I'm giving an opinion.
You know, but here's why. Let me tell you. We're pretty confident in our opinions. I know a lot of people need to learn, and a lot of people still need to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, we're not like
that. We are not like that, and so we're very grateful for the ability to, I guess, be clear enough and to see our way and to be able to say, you know what, I get it about hip hop, and I get it about herb, and if the kids smoke it around me, it's going to be okay. I would hate to see these kids smoke beer around some of these adults that I know.
Yeah, well, they'd call the police.
Yeah, these adults would probably either call the police or would be just degenerate alcoholics. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. They call the police. That sounds like the thing that anybody would do if they saw the law being broken, especially. Is this at your house?
Where?
When you let kids smoke weed, are they smoking weed at your house?
You know, we don't want to get into that because I'll tell you why, Phil.
I don't blame you because, I'm going to take that as a yes.
No, you can't take that as a yes because I didn't say yes. I said I'm not going to discuss that.
If I say to you, do the kids smoke weed at your house, and you say I'm not going to discuss that, I dare say people are going to take that as a yes.
Well, don't you, Mr. Henry, the moderator of the show.
To be the moderator of the show. And
what do you mean to be the moderator of the show? What do you want me to say? You want me to say that?
Well, I would expect you to say Ms. Dooley did not say yes. She didn't say no. What she said was, I don't want to discuss that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us here from Western Estates. Let's get Lloyd on the line. Lloyd, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, Phil. I've enjoyed your program as usual, and we always listen to it. We're on our way to a rosary this evening for a very dear man, Bill Dutton, who died and was a Navy buddy of mine in Korea. And I just want to mention his name.
Who is the man?
And I'm sorry?
Who is the man's name that you said?
And who am I speaking with?
This is Bobby Dooley.
Bobby speaking.
Yes, well, I called in to speak to you, ma'am, about the use of marijuana on your property. We have a property line.
I wanted to know who the man was.
Okay, but you need to back off your phone, Bobby.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The man that died?
Yeah, who's the man? He said the old guy died.
Yes, some old guy. He was a Korean War buddy of mine from the United States Navy, Bill Hubbard, a very dear friend.
Oh, did he die in the war?
No, he did not die in the war.
He just died now. They're going to a rosary for the man tonight. They're on their way to a rosary.
I'm not familiar with that.
We don't know what that is. I'm sorry, sir.
Are you Catholic?
No.
Well, I'm not either, but Bill was, and this is what Catholics do before there's a formal burial.
Yeah, the body stays out with an open and everything?
What did you ask me, sir?
Is the body out?
Do they keep the lid open for the 2 days?
You know,
Hold on for a minute, Lloyd. I'll get back to you. Those are questions that you don't need to ask, Ms. Dooley. It says a rosary is a Catholic, it is a form of a memorial to a person who's passed on, people say the rosary as the casket is there. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it isn't. And then there's a formal funeral either the day or the next day after that. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley on youth culture and being a hip or with it parent. They like Tupac and they saw the hologram, and the other parents at Western Estates don't get it. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
What they do, right?
No, I don't.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I'm going to get back to Lloyd here and finish up his phone call. So, sir, you wanted to continue your point. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. My comment was simply this. I don't think the smoking of this woman calls it the herb, or whatever you call it, it is not appropriate, and it's illegal. And let me underline the word illegal to...
We understand that. We understand that.
Yeah, you know, like somebody, you know, come around the corner and narc on it.
What do you mean by narc? You have to be...
You don't know what narc means.
No, I know what it means, but you've got to act like adults. You can't act as if you're standing on the playground, you know...
Well, it's not a playground. The kids are high school. You really have... Are you... And you don't sound as if you are, but do you listen to the hip-hop?
No, I don't listen to hip-hop. I don't listen to that. I listen to the music that I listen to. You know...
What do you listen to?
That's not germane to the topic, sir.
And it's not what?
It's not germane, and I agree with him. It's not relevant.
Bebop, good heroin.
I beg your pardon, sir?
I said bebop.
The bebop musicians, they did heroin.
There was a few of them that monkeyed around with that, but they weren't all drug addicts. I think it's wrong to say that because these jazz guys that I listened to as a young man, some of them might have smoked, you know, marijuana, or they used heroin, as you say, but that's not all of them, as opposed to now, isn't it most of them?
That would be extreme, too. Lloyd, I got to get going.
Well, my point is, I think these people are irresponsible.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your opinion, but I just don't think, you know, I don't even know if it's worth it to talk to that man.
Because yeah, he sounds old.
He just sounds a little old.
Well, you know what? He may be old, but, you know, there's a lot of grandparents that are raising their teenagers. They're raising the kids of their children because, you know, it's more and more we see that. So let's not make that assumption, you know, that old people.
What do you mean they're raising the children of their grandkids?
No, many grandparents find themselves taking in their grandchildren because their children, the parents of those children, are drug addicts. Losers, bums, slobs. Who knows what happened to them?
But he said that.
You know what I'm saying. The parents of the children, the grandchildren. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go over to Hazel on the Phil Hendry Show. Hazel, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. Excuse my voice. I have pneumonia, but I had to get out of bed to contradict these pompous, patronizing people. You know, I listen to you every night. I hardly ever agree with you, but I listen because you're so interesting. These people didn't know who
Thank
the Coles
you.
Were. I doubt if they would know Tchaikovsky or Chopin or any others, yet they scoff at anybody who doesn't know about a thug who got murdered. But forget about his reputation. We're not talking about him. If I lived in their condominium or where
cruel.
They live, I would move so fast.
Say.
How could anyone stand talking to them?
Mm-hmm.
They're just impossible. Mm-hmm. And so know-it-all that you want to vomit. And that's, I know that
I beg your pardon.
So forgive me,
I beg your pardon.
I can't talk
I beg
to
your
this
pardon.
Woman. She's absolutely ignorant, and
well,
I hope
you
her children
don't know
grow
about
up all right.
Modern culture.
But, you know, she's
you
a moron.
You don't know about modern culture.
And thanks for listening, Phil. Bye.
You don't know about modern culture. How rude of her just to talk and not even talk to me.
God, she don't have the guts.
You don't have the guts. And I don't know, Phil, if you ever remember a film that was done by Nevada Smith.
You mean the movie was Nevada Smith?
Yeah, what
did Steve do it?
Yeah, at the very end, Carl Malden goes, you're yellow, you haven't got the guts.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, I have seen Nevada Smith.
At the end, Carl Malden yells to, who is it, Steve?
Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen, and he says, yella, and I know, Steve, you wrote it out. Yella, you haven't got the guts.
That's what that lady.
That, exactly. That woman that I just spoke to reminds me of that film where,
Yeah, I know. Steve McQueen's riding away, and he's just shot Carl Malden in the knee. So it's like a scene of torture, and he won't kill him. He won't put him out of his misery. And that's when Carl Malden yells at him and says, you haven't got the guts to kill me. And trying to get him to kill him, and he won't do it. 877-876-PHIL.
So you're familiar with the movie?
Yes, I'm familiar with it. I don't think you could apply it to that phone caller, but I mean, if, you know, I guess we're all entitled to our opinions. Here is Michael. Michael, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Phil. Thanks.
Hi.
Well, you know, nobody should condemn people, but, you know, one of the basic parts of the framework of learning is reinforcement, and children crave, whether they be adults or adolescents, they crave it, be a negative or positive. And in order for you to achieve that, which should be, I would think, your main priority, but you seem very, you know, wanting to be a big part of your children's life. You can be their friends, but it's so much more to just be their parent. I mean, you're trying to be this other age, this cool parent, everything's so slick and whatnot. And, but I mean,
but do you know who
structure.
Do you know who Tupac Shakur is?
I know Tupac Shakur, and I know Nat King Cole, and I know Tchaikovsky. I mean, I'm probably the same age as you. I'm 52. You know, and as far as that elderly gentleman who called, the thing he has above you and above me is wisdom, which comes from all the mistakes you make. You know, in a fully lived life.
He was not aware of the fact that a lot of the a lot of the jazz musicians of his era used drugs.
It doesn't matter. I think jazz. They smoked. They smoked Mary Jane. They called it back then. Whatever.
What did they call it?
Called it Mary Jane.
It's been around forever. You know.
Yes.
That's what they call it. A thousand names for it. Doesn't really matter. You know. But guard what you say, especially on the open airways, about illicit activities at your parents.
You got to watch that language there, Michael. I agree with you, and
what do you agree with? We're trying to do something for these kids that they don't have, which is an adult that's with it. And
when you have anybody, if you are letting anyone smoke dope on your property, y'all lawsuits, felony arrest. My God,
you could be so listen. Am I still on the air?
Yes, you are, sir.
Waving it around.
Look, if you want to be something, for these kids, be an example that they can emulate and grow to respect. Not that they grow to end up thinking, well, these adults do that. It's okay for me to do that. And then they find themselves arrested. And who's their reference point? You. And you can name them as complicit in aiding and abetting, the reckless endangerment of a minor.
Mm-hmm. We have a rap session with them.
You'll find yourself arrested. Stay clear of that. You're not doing anybody any favors. You know, you're actually in time. As your children grow older, you're going to find that you're an embarrassment.
Well, I don't know if you ever rap with your kids. We do.
I raised four of them. I was a stepfather of four kids. You know, I talked to them. Yeah, but I let them know where I stand. You know, I don't have to be the cool dad that lets them get away with all this kind of crap with their friends.
I think it's not crap. I appreciate what you're saying, Michael. I really do, but I don't know how to explain it. It's just that we are with it.
When you say with it, I don't know what that means. This gentleman has taken it from beyond with it. He's taken it to the level of parenting. You can be with it. You can be the squarest, lamest person in the world, you know.
What do you mean by that?
Well, look, at my best friend, his mother was a waitress, and she came home every morning wearing her Denny's uniform. And she raised five kids, and they all turned out fantastic. They're all great kids. They love and worship their mother. She was the furthest thing from hip. She was a Denny's waitress, man, and she drank her Coors beer at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God. And you're telling us we can't have herb?
About what?
What she's drinking in the morning.
She got off work at 7 o'clock in the morning and had her beer, which was her little relaxation. The point I'm trying to make is she wasn't what I would call hip.
I don't understand. She's sitting there drinking beer. You have...
This is a woman. Listen, Michael, thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. This is a woman that just got off work, working really, really hard, and wanted to have a beer.
What's that got to do with it? Being with it?
She wasn't with it. She just happened to be a really good mom. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, so I'm a really good mom, okay? Wow.
No, what's that mean?
Oh, boy.
I didn't mean to offend you.
Well, what you're saying is essentially this. Because Steve and I dress in a manner where we're comfortable, I'm comfortable wearing a little brief top. Does that make me a slut? No. Do the kids go, oh, Mrs. Dooley, wow, you know, she's got a nice body or whatever they're going to say? Sure they do. Does that mean I'm sleeping with them? No.
Okay, so now we're getting into an area here now where you're saying...
No, Phil, don't.
Please don't flatter yourself. You're not getting into some new investigative area. I wear a little brief top, and sometimes I wear a small bikini bottom, because that's how I'm comfortable. And some of the boys in Dylan's class will look at me and go, wow, you know.
Yes, you know.
I mean, God, look at that.
Yeah, she's hot.
She's hot. Am I flattered by that? Of course I am. Would I actually take these boys up on their offer? Of course not. Well, why are you pausing? Yeah, is it like you're waiting for me to say yes?
No, I'm a little bit... I don't like the way you put things. Let me just put it that way. I'm going to take a break here, folks. 877-876-PHIL. What?
You don't like the way I put things? Oh, my...
Put them on hold, bud. Don't put them back up in the air if I'm done talking to them. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with our final segment with Bobby and Steve Dooley when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Is it more important to be a good parent or to be a hip and with-it parent who knows who Tupac is and saw his hologram at Coachella? The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
So, you're right. We've gotten off, and welcome back to the Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-7445. We've gotten away from the topic of Tupac Shakur, because I did want to talk about that.
Well, Phil, we saw the hologram. It was amazing. Seeing Tupac again was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing because of what Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I know. It was on stage. I saw...
Did you say you saw a film of it? You said you saw a video of it?
Yes, I did.
That is, and I don't mean to say anything, but that's impossible.
Why is that impossible?
Steve, you know that...
Yeah, it's impossible to see a video of it because it was a hologram, and that's not going to show up.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's the funniest thing.
No, it's not impossible because I was just watching it before the show.
That might have been just a film recreation.
Probably was a recreation.
No, it wasn't. They didn't say anything about it being a recreation. They said it was the actual, it was a video of the Coachella performance of Snoop and this hologram of Tupac.
No, because you see, it's impossible to capture a hologram on video. Because, I don't know, I like it. It's an old vampire thing, you know, you can't see a vampire in a mirror. And
yeah, it's kind of like, you know.
No, I don't know about vampires.
Well, I know, no, but I'm just saying, it's impossible to.
I'm sorry, I don't understand that. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know why you would say it's impossible to see a hologram on video. I honestly don't. Here is Jonathan. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Well, that's my understanding.
Is this Jonathan? I guess he's gone. 877-876-PHIL? Or who is this? 877-876-7445. So the hologram was what?
The hologram was of Tupac, but you can't see it on videotape.
Yeah, if you see it on videotape, you know, what that means is you're going to be probably looking at a film recreation.
No, because they didn't say anything about it being a film recreation. It was the actual... It was the actual hologram, okay? And it was the actual hologram that was actually there on the clip that I was watching.
Well, I can tell you that we were watching it live, and it was really amazing. I know there's a lot of adults that are going to say, oh, I saw that too, oh, I saw that too. And I really question whether they did or not because... Do they like his music, you know? Because would they be watching it if they didn't like his music? If they did like his music, then okay. But I can question a lot of adults and say, oh, you like Tupac? And they'll go, well, no, we watch it just to stay abreast of what the kids are looking at. And that's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, that's a dead giveaway on that.
Well, all right. I mean, fine. But that was just one part of what we were talking about. The other part of what we were talking about was the appropriateness of you smoking weed, of you wearing this bikini top, of you being involved with your kids the way that you are in this inappropriate way.
Well, that's a bit, Bill. We didn't come on the program to talk about that in a way that we would be put down for.
You thought I would praise you.
We thought we would get some praise from other parents, but we recognize that being on a talk show...
A lot of people don't get it.
Being on a talk show what?
I don't want to say.
The people that listen don't get it about...
No, they don't get it about Tupac and the Chocella.
Not Chocella, it's...
Chocella.
No, it's not Chocella either, oh my God.
Coachella?
Coachella,
okay. 877-876-7445. Margaret Gray is a longstanding contributor to our program. She is a journalist. She's an entertainment journalist. She's on the line here from Santa Monica. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I'm doing very, very well. And good evening, Bobby. Yeah, hi. And Steve, right?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm a journalist. I'm an entertainment writer. I've heard you on Phil's show before. Do you do a lot of the writing about the movies and everything, right? Let me tell you something, honey. I do writing about all kinds of things. And I'm here to tell you that, first of all, yes, thank you, Phil. You did correct the lady. It is not Chocella. Chocella would be considered obscene. Well, I know what Chota means.
Yeah, we know what Chota is.
Oh, you do? Then you would know that it's not called Chocella. We thought it was called Chocella because of the youthfulness of it. Well, you thought the promoters called it that to relate more to the youth. All right, on to another point. What? You don't agree with that? No, I don't agree with that. I happen to know the people that promote it, and they didn't call it Chocella. They call it a Coachella.
Well, we know that now.
Yeah, I know that. But on to another point, if you don't mind. The next point I wanted to make about the Tupac hologram. Yes, you can see it live. Yes, you can see it on videotape. And the reason why you can see it on videotape is because it is something that's actually being seen by the naked eye. Do you understand?
No.
Then, Steve, I'll do it, Steve, okay? God. Thank you. If you could get that husband under control. Excuse me? If you could get your husband under control, it'd be wonderful. My husband is under control, thank you very much. He doesn't sound like it. I'd love to hear your husband. In fact, I think I have. You want to hear my husband? Get over here, Frank. I have heard your husband. Did you turn his oxygen on? You are a smart ass. Frank, get over here.
All right, ladies. Let's get back to talking about this.
Hold on. Get over here, Frank.
Yeah.
Steve?
Hi.
Okay, Frank, these are the Dooleys.
Hi.
Hello, I'm Bobby.
Yeah, that's Steve.
Hi, I'm Frank.
And, now your turn. My turn for what? You can introduce your husband to me and Frank. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to lower myself. What did she say? You're not going to lower yourself.
This is a little stupid.
Hold on, Phil, for Christ. Oh, God.
Yeah, it looks like that's a commercial.
Would you please have your husband... Would you introduce us to your husband? Have that much dignity, please. No, I won't.
You're not going to do it.
All right, then I'll do it. Mr. Dooley, my name is Margaret Gray. Frank, where'd you go? Frank!
Yeah, what is it?
Get over here. Mr. Dooley? Mr. Dooley? Is the host there? Is the host there? Is the host of the show there? God.
Phil.
Is Bobby Dooley there? No.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And our number, of course, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have Dave Oliva, who is the aspiring LAPD police officer and a student of criminal justice at L.A. Canyon College, up next to talk about the George Zimmerman case. A reminder that we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And when I say online, I mean we are right now streaming live video of our show. It's Phil TV. It's in HD. So it's a beautiful picture, and we are at our studio here in front of the big picture window that showcases the El Pacifico behind us. Gorgeous rolling surf of the Pacific Ocean. But you know what? It's everybody's Pacific, and it might as well be the Atlantic. It's just, you know, it's any ocean you want it to be. Here we are. And while you're at our website and you're getting your backstage pass, you can join us for the thousands of hours of archived audio that we've got. You can join us for our podcast. You can join us for our video cast. You can also head over to our souvenir shop and get Phil Hendry Show merchandise. We've got the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies that are very popular. And, of course, our Bobby Dooley keychains are brand new and in our shop as well. PhilHendryShow.com. That's PhilHendryShow.com. One more thing. If you want to follow us on Twitter, Phil Hendry, my personal account there is Twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. And over on Facebook, we have our fan page, which is Facebook.com/PhilHendryFans. PHANS. All right. George Zimmerman was in bandages the day after he killed Trayvon Martin, according to a neighbor. This neighbor was a gentleman by the name of George Rodriguez. Mr. Rodriguez is spelled J-O-R-G-E, spelled George or Jorge. In any event, Mr. Rodriguez says that Zimmerman had two, quote, big butterfly bandages on the back of his head and another big bandage on the bridge of his nose. The severity of Zimmerman's injuries are key to his defense under Florida's Stand Your Ground law. Joining us is Dave Oliva from L.A. Canyon College, a student of law enforcement and criminal justice there, and is also got his sights set on the L.A. Police Department Police Academy there in Elysian Park once he graduates. And Dave, very pleasant good evening to you. How are you?
I'm doing good, Mr. Henry, and thanks for having me on your program. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. What is your take on George Zimmerman now, this comment that George Zimmerman had these bandages?
I think it's not much. Let me say, I think that Charles Zimmerman I think that he already is suspect because he gave the police a little bit of a runaround, when he was talking about I'm not following him. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. There's a lot of confusion as to whether he was following this guy or not. And secondly, you know, Mr. Henry, it never ceases to amaze me, you know, what people, you know, are going to believe, because he could have put those bandages on his head himself in anticipation of the fact that people are going to say, you know, you shot this guy, you know, you shot Trayvon Martin, you know, you shot him, you know, you shot this man dead. What did you do, you know, what did he do to deserve that? And you've got to have something to you know, to show. And so I think the first thing you're going to want to do is go down to, you know, any local grocery store, or go down to any local mini mart at the gas station or something, and get the butterfly bandages.
So in other words, these butterfly bandages are just cosmetic? There was no injury?
Well, I'm not saying that there was no injury, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, maybe he had a scratch. Maybe, you know, if you tussle with somebody, if you go, you know, because I'm, understand, you know, Mr. Henry, I'm studying law enforcement to eventually go to the LAPD Police Academy. I mean, that's going to be my, you know, my dream in life. So one of the things I have to do, you know, is keep my eyes open and be in good investigator. What Charles Zimmerman did could very well be that he went to the store, he bought some butterfly bandages, got some bandage for the nose, put it on the nose to make it look good, because he knew that people was going to say, "Hey, you got into a fight. Where's the bandages?"
We're talking here with Dave Oliva from L.A. Canyon College and soon to be L.A. Police Academy. So now we've got George Zimmerman, you're saying, involved in deliberate subterfuge, deliberately misleading people into thinking that he had injuries.
I think it's very likely, given the fact that he already proved that he already is a little bit, you know, sort of, I don't know what the word is, you know, a little bit slimy, because they kept saying to him, you know, "Now, you sure you're not going to follow this guy?" And he's all, "Yeah, yeah, don't worry about it. If you listen to the 911 tape, I mean, it's not exactly, but they say, okay, now, are you sure you're not going to follow this guy?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah, no sweat, you know, I won't. Well, he lied, because we know that after they got off the phone with him, he went right back to doing it, you know.
I don't know that that's the case. I think that after he got off the phone with them, didn't he stop?
No, I mean, after he got off the phone with him, he kept right on. My understanding of the story of the case is, from the case, that the files that I've read so far.
Have you read files? Have you read these case files?
Well, I mean, no, just what the case files that are in the newspaper, you know, what they wrote about, you know, is that Charles Zimmerman was. Okay, we know that Charles Zimmerman was...
His name is... It's George Zimmerman, okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry. George Zimmerman was driving. He calls up the police. He goes, "Yeah, I've got this, you know..." I mean, my understanding was if he didn't, then please correct me, but I think he said the N-word.
No, he did not, sir. No, no. There's no N-word at all.
Well, he did say, like, Negro or something, right?
No, he didn't. The confusion was whether he identified the man's race at all, and the I think they said no, he didn't. But anyway,
okay. Well, but I mean, he's following this guy, and they tell him to back off. Now, number two, if you look at this guy's mugshot, there's not a scratch on his face, and this is a mugshot that they took, okay, that night. They didn't arrest him, because they decided, no, you know, we're not going to arrest him.
And what mugshot are you talking about?
The night that he shot Trayvon Martin.
There's a mugshot?
Yeah, because they didn't know if they were going to arrest him or not. That's my understanding, because I did see a mugshot. And there's not one scratch on his face. There's not no bandage on his head. There's not no bandage on his nose. There's not no... I mean, you can't see any kind of injury at all to the suspect.
And are you sure you're not talking about the...
Well, I'm not talking about any other... this was in the paper the next day. And
well, there was a picture in the paper the next day of a mugshot of him.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It was him, and there was no bandage or nothing on him. That also now begins to make me think, okay, what's going on? Okay, because think about it. You know, just think about it. Okay, first of all, he has a bandage on at his house that his neighbor sees. Okay, now think about it. Now there's a mugshot and there's no bandage that anyone can see. If you think about it, it's easy to conclude that he's attempting to mislead. He's attempting to mislead and finagle the situation. If you think about it, you know, he...
Well, I am thinking about it. I mean, I don't understand how a bandage the next day, and if there's a mugshot, of course, he wasn't arrested, so I don't know what they're taking mugshots for or why they're releasing them. If there's a mugshot with no scratches on it, what does that prove?
Well, I mean, it could prove that the injuries were found later. It could prove that the injuries were found later. Think about it. If you think about it, the guy's... He's not... Oh, he gets home and suddenly realizes his nose is busted. Or he realizes his head's busted open. If you think about it. And that's what we are trying to get people to think about with the George Zimmerman case. Because, yes, he may have thought that he was standing his ground. But anybody can put a butterfly bandage on their nose and say, oh, yeah, I got my nose busted. But the mugshot shows nothing.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dave Oliva joining us tonight from L.A. Canyon College, and his perspective on the latest from George Zimmerman. What of his neighbor says that Mr. Zimmerman was wearing bandages? He saw his head bandaged, he saw his nose bandaged, and this would bolster George Zimmerman's story that he was injured in a, quote, life-or-death scuffle with... end of quote, with Trayvon Martin. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Dave Oliva with us from L.A. Canyon College, a student of criminal justice, law enforcement, and he's got his sights set on the LAPD Academy. You were talking to Dan Northcraft, our engineer.
Yeah, he was talking about a guy that he knows was in the Tet Offensive in Vietnam, you know. And this dude was off partying off base the night that the Tet Offensive went down, okay? And anyway, the Tet Offensive goes down, so everybody's trying to run back to their base. And this dude's running, and he's looking at Viet Cong, which is running in front of him. They're running toward the base too, right? And so this one Viet Cong gets shot, and this dude picks up the AK, and he starts mowing down, like, left and right, you know, Viet Cong right in front of you, man. Now, that's badass, okay? And that's what I'm talking about. This George, you know, Zimmerman, that's Mickey Mouse compared to that.
No, I know that. I mean, but we're not talking about mowing down the Viet Cong at the Tet Offensive. This is a guy that was patrolling, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You know, this guy's doing some Mickey Mouse patrol. And he winds up trying to be all, you know, badass. And, you know, that's why I'm studying to be LAPD. I don't want to wind up like that guy. I'm going to be LAPD. I'm not going to be no neighborhood watch guy driving around, you know, trying to mow down people with no, I guess what you would say, like badge or nothing, you know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I understand what you're saying. No reason to denigrate people that are trying to keep their neighborhood secure, though. That's all I'm trying to discuss. Todd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, I'm calling from Baton Rouge, and I'm a block camp in my neighborhood, and we've had a lot of trouble and break-ins and things. But first thing I want to point out is the smoke shot that they're showing of Zimmerman is a previous smoke shot. It's not from the night that the altercation happened with Trayvon. And
Did you hear that, Dave?
What did the guy say? You said that's a previous mug shot.
Yeah, that's
yeah. It's previous to him showing bandages. Where did he get the bandages? Where did he get the bandages? He's got. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean.
There are no pictures released. They took evidentiary pictures, but there is no mug shot from the night of it. Now there are photographs, but they have not been released. And they do show injuries to the back of the skull, and he also has a broken nose.
Well, have you seen them? Have you seen them?
Seen the photograph?
Yeah.
No, I've not seen the photograph.
Well, then you don't really know. You don't know. See, that's what I'm saying. And now the guy's got bandages on, trying to get everybody to. He's trying to further the story.
But what if he's really injured?
Well, I mean, there's no indication. If you think about it. A guy's got a gun. How injured is he going to get? You know?
Look, I can tell you, I had some kids breaking into our house next door where an 80-year-old woman lives. I was taking my trash out, and I went in out to scream at them. When I screamed at them, three of them, there was four all together, three of them ran. One of them walked up as casual as if he was fixing to shake my hand, pulled out a pistol, and took four shots at me from 15 feet. Now, had I been armed, I would have killed them. And they didn't even have to stay gone. So, I think the game...
I don't know what... I mean, I'm talking about a guy in the Tet Offensive that started mowing down Viet Cong.
Yeah, but what has that got to do with... What's that got to do with what we're talking about?
Well, I'm just saying George Zimmerman is like... See, I'm studying, and I don't know if the gentleman heard, maybe he did, but I'm studying to be LAPD, okay? Which is one of the best police departments probably in the world, because I don't want to be like George Zimmerman, which is kind of a joke.
Well, why is the guy a joke? You've already got your mind made up that this guy killed this kid for no reason, and it could very well be. But why do you think the guy's a joke?
Because, first of all, I think it's a little weird to carry a gun if you're neighborhood watch. That's, like, not really, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't mean to put it down, but neighborhood watch is like, it's almost like being a hall monitor at school.
Yeah.
Don't you think, sir?
There's never going to be a case, no matter what evidence comes out, I strongly suspect that you will always think he was guilty. No matter what evidence comes out, no matter how much of a hero he may or may not be, he will always be demonized by people.
Well, the same is true with you. You're going to think Trayvon Martin, no matter what comes out, you're going to think he's some gang-banging punk.
No. Why would I think Trayvon Martin's a gang-banging punk?
The same reason why you think I would think George Martin is a bad guy.
No, I think not. You heard reports that
I do. I don't see where you got the market cornered on being open-minded, you know?
But listen to the difference. I didn't hear any reports that Trayvon was a gangbanger. You did hear reports that Zimmerman said...
No, you didn't hear no reports that Trayvon was a gangbanger. You just saw him in a hoodie, flashing gang signs, all that.
My son wears a hoodie. That didn't sway my thinking. But you did hear that he said...
Okay, I don't want to talk about this no more because this guy, he's got his mind made up.
Right.
Why do you say that?
Yeah, he says I got my mind made up, but I talked to a guy that mowed down some Viet Cong in South Vietnamese.
Well, we losing South Vietnamese.
What the hell has that got to do with anything? Is what I'm trying to figure out.
I'm just saying that's real. That's hardcore.
Okay, that's hardcore. And so George Zimmerman isn't. All right. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. I don't want to get into debating what the hell George Zimmerman did, okay, or didn't do, or who's right or who's wrong. You know, because I'm listening to you, and you are right among them. I'm listening to people saying that George Zimmerman has been judged before. I'll tell you one other guy that got judged. Trayvon Martin's dead. Okay?
Well, what's that mean?
Well, people are saying don't judge George Zimmerman. Well, hell, Trayvon Martin was judged. He took a bullet. He's dead. He got judged real good.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I sort of understand what you're saying, but that's not the same thing, is it?
And why isn't it the same thing? Talk about don't judge George Zimmerman, because George Zimmerman, you know, he may have been right, he may have been wrong, he may, you know, all the facts aren't in, really? And what about Trayvon Martin? Does he get judged? Don't judge him?
No, you shouldn't judge him either.
Well, somebody did, because he ain't around anymore. So his ass got judged real good. So Trayvon Martin got judged by one guy with a gun. He's dead, and now all these people want to run to George Zimmerman's defense and say, well, don't judge him.
Well, I mean, like, why would you want to judge him until all the facts is in? When you talk about Trayvon Martin...
I'm not judging the guy. You know, I've got an opinion is all I'm saying. I thought you had the same opinion.
Well, I do, but I mean, now that you're bringing up the fact that Trayvon Martin, you know, is got judged, I don't understand that. You know, I'm already here to talk about George Zimmerman and how, as far as the police, what do you want to call, like procedure and like the way you do it, I'm willing to say that George Zimmerman, you know, he really messed it up. But he didn't judge Trayvon Martin.
No, he just shot him.
Yeah, but I mean, how's that judging him?
How's it judging him? The cat's dead, man. He's dead. He got... come on. 877-876-PHIL. Trayvon Martin got judged. Anybody want to say Trayvon Martin shouldn't be judged, that all the facts should be in, that we don't know whether he's a hood, we don't know whether he's a this, we don't know whether... Anybody want to say that about him? All the facts aren't in on Trayvon... Well, he's dead. He's a dead man. And I got one guy's word on that, George Zimmerman, the guy who shot him. I'm going to take his word. You know, I might have been born at night, man, but...
What last night?
Thank you. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Me is Dave Oliva from L.A. Canyon College. Dave, a criminal justice student, and would like to join the LAPD Police Academy at some point. We'll have Harvey Wireman with us, attorney at law, later in the show to talk about the situation in Colombia vis-a-vis the Secret Service and certain members of the military caught catting around and drinking and cavorting and generally not being very professional while they are on a protection detail. And are down there representing the U.S. military, while the president of the United States is being awaited for, you know, his arrival. If I said that right, 877-876, Phil.
Phil, if I could make a comment.
Go ahead.
I want to be LAPD, but Secret Service is kind of an area of my interest, and that's kind of weird that the military was, you know, down there too, and I wonder if, like, there's a coup being planned, but the same thing happened in Peru and some other places. The military showed up, the U.S. military showed up. Next thing you know, there was a military coup. And
no, these guys are out in the open. They're there with the president. They're there probably to have talks with the Colombian military on mutual security or drug interdictment or drug interdicting or something like that.
I don't know, but, you know, there's so many things going on right now, especially with this this Zimmerman character. But, I mean, by the same token, I'm not really sure I know what it is you're talking about. When you say he judged Trayvon Martin, yes, he did shoot him.
But see, this thing about they don't want to judge George Zimmerman. And everybody says, I don't want to judge George Zimmerman. And please don't judge George Zimmerman. And, oh, my goodness gracious, the facts aren't in. Right?
Well, yeah, the facts are not in, you know.
Okay, fine, the facts are not in. But one guy got judged before the facts even got out so they could get in. and that was Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, what do you mean by judge?
Did he get shot?
Yes, sir, he did.
That's what I call the ultimate judgment. He's dead. The guy's dead. I don't hear anybody, well, I do. I hear the people on the side of Trayvon Martin saying, before you talk about judging anybody, let's talk about this guy and the fact he's dead and can't defend himself. And I've seen all kinds of commentary about hoodies and about gang signs and about a thug. I've seen the kid described as a thug. Well, he did this and he did that in school. I haven't seen anything relative to this kid that's any worse than what a teenage boy might be engaged in. That, you know, normal curiosity and just the normal instincts of a teenage kid. Here is Mark. Mark, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dave Oliva. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. You know, you make a very good point, very valid point, in that this kid was prejudged and taken out. There was a rush to judgment against him by George Zimmerman. And Mr. What is your name? Young man,
my name's Dave Oliver. You know, there wasn't like a rush to judgment because, although I agree, but the kid was, you know, acting weird. So
how is he acting weird? How?
Well, you have to admit, walking down the street and it's pouring rain, that's kind of stupid, you know.
Well, there are plenty of people that walk down streets when it's raining. Some might have an umbrella. Others might have a hoodie or some sort of a raincoat with a hood on it.
I don't know who those people would be. I don't know who they would be.
Okay, but you can't say that they're weird. I mean, it wasn't raining hard that night that he was walking back from the convenience store.
Do you walk down the street when it rains?
Of course I do, but I generally will have an umbrella. I'm not one wearing hoodies. I don't wear hoodies and I don't wear hats. But I generally have an umbrella.
But I mean, yeah, I know you have an umbrella, but you're like walking down the street even though it's raining.
He's got an umbrella, though.
Yeah, I know that, Mr. Henry, but who does that other than people? I know, like, okay, I know you have to do it if you're catching a bus or you're going to go catch a taxi cab. But you just like walking?
All right, you're walking from...
What is that about?
You're walking from...
What's that about?
I'm trying to tell you if you keep quiet for a second. You're walking You're walking back from a store You're 17 years old. You don't drive a car. You don't own a car. And it's a short walk, probably a block or two. You're walking home with iced tea and Skittles candy. What is unlawful about that to the point where this guy should judge him to be a thug, a hood? He's doing something unlawful when he wasn't.
Right.
And shoot him.
Exactly. What was that?
Well, I don't think he should have been shot. That's where I agree with you. But I do feel that it was suspicious. In law enforcement, you know, we look at suspicious behavior. And
all right. So what was suspicious?
Well, I just said, I mean, it's kind of weird to walk in the rain, that's all.
Why is that weird, man? If you're walking and you turn around and you're walking home and suddenly it starts to rain.
Right.
Well, first of all, gentlemen, I'm not saying that he, you know, deserves to be shot. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that his behavior was suspicious. When you put it together with the fact that he's, okay, walking in the rain, he's wearing a hoodie, okay?
Yeah, you might not be saying that he deserves to be shot, but you certainly are justifying it, aren't you? I can see you as a police officer prejudging someone and shooting them, like the cops like to do here in Florida. In Orlando, particularly, just recently, they claimed some Latin guy was trying to run the officers down. They were in fear for their lives, and it was a video camera on a Target roof that caught the whole incident. The kid was stopped, the car was stopped, and the Orlando police came up behind him in another vehicle, hit him, and pushed him towards the officers, and then they opened fire on him. So they lied.
Well, it still was going after them, though. They're still going after them. The car was still going after them.
It got pushed by somebody else.
No, yes, no, you car. Just said, sir, you just said the car got pushed at them. Right?
The vehicle was stopped.
Right.
Okay, the police stopped the vehicle. This guy was accused of stealing, I think, either at Target or using stolen credit cards, what have you. They stopped the vehicle, and an unmarked Orlando police vehicle, I think it was a Suburban or something, came up behind the vehicle that was stopped by their colleague, slammed into the rear of it, and pushed the vehicle towards the officers who were standing in front of the stopped vehicle. So those officers witnessed their colleagues hit that vehicle, push it towards them, so they opened fire on the vehicle, nearly killing the occupants in the vehicle.
Well, they didn't kill them, though. understand the split second thinking that goes into being a police officer.
If a guy takes his car
and pushes it at you, you're going to go, I'll shoot first. I'll shoot first and ask questions later.
No, you don't shoot first.
You see what I mean, Phil? Clearly, you're not listening.
I'm listening to you, but you're saying that they were standing and the cop and the guy came toward him.
I'm telling you the cop was standing there. I'm telling you that the suspect vehicle was stopped. Okay?
And then he came at them.
No, he did not. Is that what you said?
Yes, you did say that.
No, he's. Will you listen to the guy?
Are you in college or elementary school? You sound like a complete idiot. You got to be kidding me here.
No, you are not listening. You don't have the facts of the case correct, and now you're trying to backpedal and try to, fill it
in. I'm giving you an analogy.
This guy's car came at these guys. Oh, I forgot. He got hit by a cop.
What I'm telling you is that kid wasn't doing anything unlawful to the point where he should have been shot by someone who's not a police officer, where he should have been confronted by someone who is not a law enforcement official. That's what I'm telling you. There's nothing weird in going to the store. There's nothing weird in walking when you don't have your own vehicle.
Do you know who Geraldo Rivera is? You know who he is, right?
Yes, I know who he is.
Okay, he came out on the television and said,
About the hoodie.
Yeah.
You know something?
I think he might know a little bit about it.
I agree, very minimally, I agree with Geraldo. I'll tell you why. Because you had a good lunch, didn't you?
I thought you were going to...
Because I agree with
Geraldo.
Don't
belch into the phone.
You agree with Geraldo, so how can you... I did not belch.
Yes, you did.
God.
All right, look.
I belched because I had Szechuan chicken for dinner, okay?
Yeah, very good.
Geraldo Rivera, you can't agree with Geraldo Rivera and then also say, oh, yeah, but also I agree with Trayvon Martin. You can't.
No. I'll tell you, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
All right, we got a break. But I tell you what, thank you very much, sir, for your call. Great call. And 877-876-PHIL is the number here. That was Mark. And I don't know what you were trying to say, Dave.
I was simply trying to say, Mr. Henry, that if you're going to shoot a kid, you're right, that the kid should not have been shot. I won't go so far as to say that George Zimmerman. Yeah, George Zimmerman. I won't go so far as to say that George Zimmerman was judging him, but he did shoot him, and that was wrong. But I also won't go so far as to say that wearing a hoodie and walking in the rain is not very, 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 very bad.
Hold on, will you? God, it's driving me out of my mind. Watch this. I'll take him off a hold.
They are doing, but that's very, very bad. And
See, he's just still talking. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Final segment here with Dave Oliva as we talk about George Zimmerman and the Trayvon Martin case. And I think that that is the story here. If you say that George Martin should not be judged, I think we are mindful of the fact that that the man should be accorded his rights. But we've got a dead kid. There was no crime being committed that we know of other than a fist fight broke out, and then a gun was pulled and shots were fired.
Mr. Henry, that's true, and that's why I didn't see no Band-Aid on George Zimmerman's face. I didn't see no Band-Aid on his head, and that's where I think George Zimmerman messed up, by going out and buying. That's what I think he'd done.
Yeah, I know. You think the bandages are fake.
Yes, sir. But where I think Trayvon Martin messed up is that he was being suspicious on a rainy night. And if you think about it, and I think a lot of people can probably relate to this, Mr. Henry, if it's raining out and you're driving your car down the street and you see a guy hitchhiking and it's raining, are you going to pick him up? No, you are not. You know why? Because the rain makes people look way... like, I don't know what you would call it, but they just look bad,
Okay, so what?
So what? So I'm driving, and here's a dude in a hood, and it's raining. Automatically, that makes him suspicious. And that's, I think, what a lot of people are missing.
877-876-PHIL. That doesn't make any sense at all. I just hope you know that. Let's go over here to Joyce. Joyce, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dave Oliva. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. First, let me say, I am saddened that Trayvon is dead. He should not be dead. Let me also say, had George Zimmerman been a black man that killed Trayvon, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Blacks kill blacks in this nation on a regular basis, and nothing is said. Let me relay a story that happened here in Houston, in my hometown. A young black man cut up a black woman and put her on the barbecue pit, almost burned down the complex. They found part of her body down the garbage disposal. Her name was Tanisha Stewart. Nobody marched for Tanisha Stewart because they were both black. A black life is not valued in this nation unless a white person kills them, and that's very unfortunate. I had a niece that went shopping. She went to get in her car. A young black man was in the parking lot shopping for a car. She went to put the key in the door, and he shot her through the head when she went to run back in the store. Her name was Brandy. Nobody marched for Brandy. We're marching and acting a fool, and nobody cares about a black killing a black, and that's very unfortunate in this nation.
You know what? It's if a white does it, you got to admit it's good to pay attention to that.
It makes great news. It ups the radio and stuff. But what about a black person? A black person is just as important when a black person kills them as they are when a white person kills them.
I'll tell you why, man. Because we figure it's all in the family.
And what do you mean all in the family?
You can talk all the stupidity you want. I still contend that a black life is not valued in this nation unless a white person kills them. I can give you case after case that blacks have killed blacks in my city right around me, and nobody marches for them. You don't see old Jesse Jackson. You don't see old Al Sharpton. All those poverty pimping that makes money.
What about the Green River? What about the Atlanta child killer? That guy was black, and he killed black little kids.
The who?
The Atlanta child killer.
It haven't changed.
The Atlanta child.
It's not. It's whatever you're saying.
That was a black guy killing a child, a little child, a little child.
Not changed.
Okay.
But you haven't had all the news for a Saturday.
What about
month,
that?
Oh. For a Saturday.
What about that guy in Cleveland? That guy.
That's
soul.
All you heard is Trayvon
that guy,
Martin. What about all
that
the other
soul in Cleveland?
That dude in Cleveland. That's
what about the dude in Cleveland, Mr. Henry?
The guy in Cleveland that was a serial killer, that soul guy?
Yeah, he was black.
And that's my concern. Let's march
because they already know. Because they know who did it.
Let's do that instead of when a white person kills a black. Oh, it makes the news.
But it's going to be racist. You can't do that. It's racist.
Wait a minute. Wait. Everybody's talking. Everyone's talking over top of everybody.
Because it's racist. You can't do that.
What do you mean it's racist?
If you march against.
All right, okay. I got you. So what you're saying here, ma'am, is when black people kill black people, there should be big marches and huge...
Yes, sir.
What?
But it's not.
Well, now, aren't these marches taking place not necessarily because of the race, but because the crime itself is unclear? If a black person is killed by another black person, and they know they did it, and the crime is clear, and the person's guilty, what's to march about?
I'm not understanding.
The guy in Cleveland, remember that guy's soul? He was a serial killer. He killed, like, I don't know, 9 or 10 women. And, holy God, it was a horror scene in that house. He was a serial murderer. There wasn't really much to say. The guy was put away for the rest of his life.
But it still doesn't change the fact that blacks kill blacks every day in this nation. And nobody seemed to be concerned about those. And I hear people saying, Trayvon wasn't doing anything. My little niece wasn't doing anything but getting in a car. But nobody marched for Brandy. They should have been marching around that parking lot. Marching for Brandy.
That's a good point.
And you know who is really winning in this case?
Skittles.
And the hoodie makers.
That's really winning in this case. It's not going to keep blacks from killing blacks. Right here in Houston, right, just this weekend, blacks kill blacks. Then it didn't even make them. It's just one little phrase about it, and it's over. But let it be white man that kill a black, and we just go crazy. We just go crazy, and we got to stop it. We got to start valuing lives. I don't care who kills who. Less value life other than when it's a white person kill a black. We got to do that. And like I said, the winners in this case is the Skittle makers and the hoodie makers. That's who we're winning.
And the cell phone makers, too. And the people that make the cell phones, too.
Okay, thanks, Dave, very much. Thank you, Joyce. Great call. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL.
She kind of shut you down, didn't she? That lady was great. Totally shut you down. Totally took over.
Shut up. No, that was a great call. She's right. What do you want me to do about it? You know, I can't do anything about that. I'm white. I have to address myself to all of the dumb whites.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, there's enough of them. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm white. I can't do anything about it.
El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that I'm belching just the way...
belching just like Dave Oliver done.
Sorry. That's always something. It must be the diet that I'm on, you know.
Yeah, I think you ate a lot of romaine lettuce.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have eaten a lot of romaine lettuce.
Yeah, that'll do it.
How do you know?
I don't know. Sound like a dog. Yeah, if you eat a lot of greenery.
If I eat a lot of greenery, huh?
Yeah, you eat a lot of greenery. Supposedly the bowel movements is good.
All right, easy, man. Let's not get into that. If you don't mind. Every time I talk about being on a diet, it doesn't mean we have to get into, you know, discussions of that nature. Welcome to the show. And our final hour here, news and information, we have Harvey Wireman is going to join us on the military and Secret Service brouhaha. It may even erupt into a scandal. I always think scandal means something that is going to bring someone's career to an end, you know? That's what I think a scandal is. a brouhaha or a contretemps or just a bunch, you know, boys being boys. That's just some guys that are, hey, man, you're off the, you know, you're off the post. You know, you guys are. But this may be a scandal. By that, I mean there might have been illegal activity involved. I don't know, but Harvey's going to be with us. He is an attorney at law, a defense attorney, and we'll be talking with us about that coming up here. It's our News and Information Hour, so we're going to have Bud and Robert alongside with us here. And go ahead and put the there you go, Bud. Thank you very much. And by the way, we were talking about Twitter. Twitter's a disease, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not on Twitter, I would, if I were you, consider yourself to be smarter than the average bear. Seriously, there are people that have to be. I have to be because my job is in the media.
Wait, why do you have to be though?
Because my job's in the media. My whole job is trying to keep tabs on what's going on in this world. Trying to keep tabs on what people are doing, trying to keep tabs on what people are thinking, trying to keep tabs on what the hell's going on. I gotta, you know.
But I tell you, it's a hell of a deal have a job like yours and not even like it do it.
Who said I don't like my job?
Well, you said you don't want to do Twitter.
Well, that ain't my job. My job's radio. There's certain ways of staying in touch with the culture that I like... Going to a ball game, I'm staying in touch with people. I see people. I see them with their children. I see them with their spouses. I see them having fun. I see them getting angry. You know, going out into the world. But sitting around on my dead ass reading Twitter tweets. But that's the way everybody's doing it. So we were talking about it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know this or not, but Facebook, I believe, just purchased. Am I right that Facebook purchased another social networking site, feature, thing, app, I don't know. To me, it's an app because I don't think I've ever been to the Instagram site. And that's Instagram. And now what is this? These are pictures that you take and you tweet them out there. Pictures. Now, taking pictures is one thing, and we've been taking pictures since there have been cameras. But now with the new special effects apps that you can get, and I've got one here. You see this one, Bud? What's that called?
That's called B-Funky.
B-Funky. So I got one of these. What does it do? It makes all kinds of effects on the picture. And there's a picture here that, look at this B-Funky, look at that.
Wow.
That makes me look like I got sun rays coming out of my head. All right, the whole point that I'm making is, now you can't resist taking pictures because you can mess around and make all kinds of weird looking things with them. And then you put them out there on your little, you know, picture feed. And that's another way to waste precious, valuable time. Now, all of this is well and good, and I know what you're saying. You're saying, Phil, why talk about it? Why don't you just knock it off? I can't. I'm addicted the same way that I was to cigarettes and am currently to food. No, I'm not addicted to food. Well, I am addicted to food, but I've got it under control. I can't because I have to do it because that's what everybody's doing. And I've really gotten tired of the whole notion of followers. To me, that's just, you know... Yeah, on Twitter you have followers. On Instagram you got followers. Everybody's Jesus all of a sudden. Everyone's got followers, you know.
Yeah, Lamar Reese and Mahesh Yogi and something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that guy what had an ashram. Remember the guy that...
What, Bud? Back it off the thing.
Turn it down, man.
No, remember the guy that had an ashram in Oregon?
In Oregon?
Yeah.
What was his name?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, the guy had an ashram in Oregon.
Yeah, I know what his name was. His name was Raj Fanin.
Raj Fanin? No. Oh, I know what it was.
Yeah, it was Raj Fanin.
It wasn't Raj Fanin. That's the guy that has the freaking family in business. Rajneesh.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Rajneesh.
Yeah, that guy was in Oregon, huh? Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, that's what we are. That's what Twitter has turned us all into. We know we have our followers, you know. I can start my own freaking religion, man. I got like 11,000 followers on Twitter. I can start my own faith, my own religion. You know, these are all my followers.
Think of how many Howard Stern can start. He could get a religion.
Howard's got like a million people following him. He could start his own country. He could be the president of his own country. And by the way, speaking of Howard Stern, there's news, and the news is this, that the lawsuit that he filed against Sirius XM saying that they owed him money was dismissed by the judge. And
you're kidding.
No, and it, apparently it had to do apparently it had to do, in the judge's view, with what was meant by bonus money. And this all came down to Sirius promising Howard a certain amount of money when it came to bonuses for the number of subscribers that they had. Well, in the middle of all of this, they purchased XM. They merged with XM. That brought on board a certain number of subscribers. And I think Howard was claiming that there were subscribers from XM that wanted to listen to his show and indeed did access his show by way of a channel on XM called The Best of Sirius or something. But people were subscribing to that channel because they wanted Howard Stern. They were XM subscribers, and the only way they could get Howard Stern was this channel on XM called The Best of Sirius. It was the Sirius programming that was brought over. So they were claiming that they were owed bonus money for that and that they had not been paid. The judge gave Sirius XM a summary ruling. They requested a ruling. They said, on the validity of the suit, they said, here are our arguments. We think the lawsuit is just not valid. It's not even worth going to court over. And the argument made was that while Howard Stern was entitled to money having to do with bonus money paid from Sirius, he was not entitled to any bonus money from XM because it didn't meet certain standards, et cetera, so on and so forth. So the judge ruled in Sirius's favor. And I would just say this, because as you know, I'm no fan of radio management. And I have my reasons, but I'm not alone. Howard Stern was suing their asses. And if you think he's the only guy suing a radio company these days, you're wrong. There are other prominent individuals who have filed lawsuits against radio companies. And the reason why is very simply this. There's a game being played with the numbers. Ever since the implosion of the economy, and ever since the very definite implosion of the radio industry, which you wouldn't even believe, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to me right now, and I hope you're enjoying what you're hearing, and I hope I'm here for many a day, but you would not even believe what has happened to the radio industry. It's on its ass. It's all there is to it. Now, you're listening to me. It doesn't make any difference to you, and that's fine, you know. But and you're listening to all of your, you know, favorite hosts, blah, 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 blah. But the truth is that the talk radio as we know it, it has been trashed so thoroughly by the broadcast executives. They have destroyed the talk radio format to the point where all it is either conservative talk or some guy telling you how to fix your carburetor on your jalopy or something. That's about it. And everything else has been marginalized by stupid, unimaginative people. So there's all kinds of lawsuits happening. There's all kinds of lawsuits happening. Howard Stern's lawsuit against Sirius, just one of the lawsuits filed against Sirius. Another lawsuit was filed by their subscribers. The whole reason for this is very simply, simply put, there's a lot of money involved here. And this guy, Karmazin, went $500 million in the hole to buy XM just so he could buy the competition, just so he could wipe out the competition. He couldn't counter-program them. He couldn't compete against them. He went out and he bought them with money he didn't have. He got the FCC to approve it, thus destroying whatever, you know, competitive balance there might be in satellite radio. With one fell swoop, the FCC completely gutted that by allowing Mel Karmazin, with no money, to buy XM. He's up to his ass in hock, $500 million. Somehow he's still hanging on. They wanted to throw his ass out. They wanted to fire him as the chairman of the board. That didn't happen. Mel's a tough guy. Mel knows how to survive. There's a lot of guys in radio that are real tough. They're real scrap. These executives in radio, I'm telling you, I've never seen guys hang on longer. The guy that ran ABC, whose name escapes me, it doesn't make any difference, this slob had basically bankrupted that company, and he still was hanging on. I'm not talking about the new guy. I'm
talking about a new guy running Cumulus.
Not that guy. I'm talking about the guy that was running ABC. That jackass, I'm telling you, he ran it right into the ground. And still got some kind of a golden parachute out of it.
And sure,
What are you laughing at?
Golden parachute.
That's not the same thing, man. That's not what your filthy mind's thinking about. It's different.
Oh. You he got a golden shower.
No, I said...
Ow!
Say that? He got a golden parachute.
Probably should have got...
Shut up, bud. So, and then the Sirius subscribers are suing their ass. So, Sirius is not serious. You know, they don't pay anybody over there. The cats that are working on the air over there, some of them are really nice guys and very talented guys. They ain't getting paid, man. They're not getting paid. Here is the new, this is the brand new paradigm, the new model that's being adopted in radio, just so you know. They're not paying talent anymore. They're saying, well, you guys can go out and get your websites. We'll be the promotional. They're not saying it, because if they said it, they'd probably, they would hasten the demise of the business even faster than they already have. But what they're basically doing is they're saying, oh, you guys, we don't have to pay you, because you guys have websites. You're making all kinds of money on your podcast. You're making all kinds of money on your merchandise. You know, because these guys don't own anything anymore. I will tell you this. Never again, if I stay in radio, never again will I ever allow a radio company to own any part of me.
What about the, like, the shows?
Any part of me, nothing. Nothing. Never again, man. First of all, they don't know what to do with it. Second of all, they got no right. They can't do their job. They can't sell. They can't affiliate. They can't do anything. I'll be a son of a gun. I'm going to let them own my hard work. The only hard work that's being done. So that's it in a nutshell. You know, that's it in a nutshell. It's not an industry anymore. It is a series of garages and carports that you park yourself in, and that's about, and they're about as effective as those. Let's see, who else is suing somebody?
Well, I can't say that one.
Yeah, there's a few that we can't mention, but it's happening, and it's happening all over, and we'll keep you up to date on it, because I can tell you this time next year, this is gonna be, we're gonna break. This time next year we'll break. No, I'm kidding. This time next year, well, this time after the break, I'll tell you what we'll do this time next year. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Harvey Wireman, we have promised to get back on the line here tonight with us to talk about this embarrassment to the president of our certain members of the military, Harvey, as well as the Secret Service, cavorting with prostitutes, right?
Yeah, the story that I've got from Dale Pritchard, who's with the he's a retired Secret Service guy, but I've known Dale since we were both in the Marine Corps, is that they were down there, as you know, ahead of time. Hold on for a minute. Give me a pull it up here. They were down there ahead of time, and they what was that?
That's a mute. Turn that down, bud.
I don't want him fooling around. Could you get him away?
He's not going to fool around. Turn it down, bud, and go ahead, Harvey.
So the what happened was this. They went down ahead of time. They knew that they had a lot of preparation to go through and so forth, but for some reason they started getting involved in the with the prostitutes and everything. The guys going out, you know. And
a lot of people saying boys will be boys.
Well, you can say boys will be boys, but you're the president of the United States is your responsibility, and you're down there drinking, and you are cavorting with the people you cavort with.
prostitutes.
Yes, with prostitutes. And and so they...
Do you need some coffee or...
We're going to get some. So, Eddie, pull in. I got Eddie with me tonight who's driving. And
oh, okay, good, good.
Right, so... So that's what I said to.
How you doing?
Yeah, good.
How you doing, Lord? I'll be ready.
Give me a cup of coffee, will you, kid? And give me. What do you want, Eddie? Give me a couple of Cokes.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill.
Give me that. You want a burrito? Get a burrito, okay?
All right.
Can we can we get back to this?
Oh yeah. Hold on, kid. So, you know, what surprised me was that these guys would be so unprofessional. He's the president of the United States. And you better pull your head up out of your rear end, and you better get,
All right.
Yeah, you got that? What's the price on that?
Hey, Bill?
No, that's it.
All right, you're closing me at 747. Thank you.
All right, thanks. And what do you want?
I don't know if I'm talking about something else.
What do you want? Do you want to have a hot dog or a cheese dog or something?
You know what, Harvey? We're on the air.
I'm sorry, Phil. Just...
Yeah. Did I get a hot dog?
Yeah, you can get a hot dog. Get anything you want. God, go around, back through.
Okay. Are you all finished ordering?
Yeah, yeah. Eddie wants a hot dog.
Yeah, I won't get a hot dog. Can I get some cheese on it?
Yeah, you can put cheese on it. Hey, Phil, will they put cheese on a hot dog?
Yeah, I don't know. Where are you?
We're at the hot dog. We're at Schnitzel City.
Schnitzel City?
Yeah, it's, it's Der Wiener Schnitzel.
Der Wiener Schnitzel, okay. All right, so what is the end game here, Harvey? What is the punishment?
Well, first of all, you want to contain the damage. You got to find out, the first thing you got to find out, were any laws broken, etc. You got to find out if any laws were broken. You got to find out was anybody drunk.
All right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
go ahead, Lord. I'll be ready.
Can I get a hot dog and
you want a cheese on it?
Yeah, get a hot dog and cheese.
All right. Hey, Bill.
You got some fries, curly fries?
Yeah, you got the curly fries for the kid? Huh? You got those?
All right.
Okay, good. He's got them.
Hey, Bill? Yeah, can I get...
When are we going to get back to doing the show?
Oh, hold on for a minute, will you, Phil? For God's sake. Come on, hurry up, Eddie.
Yeah, I get the hot dog with cheese. Get out a little dab of the sauerkraut. You want sauerkraut?
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put some sauerkraut.
Hey, Bill?
Yeah, put some sauerkraut on it for the kid, will you?
All right.
You're closing at
747.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right, Phil, sorry. So, it's raining out here, by the way. Did you know that? That it's raining?
I can imagine it is.
Yeah, so anyway, it all depends on any laws are broken. But you heard what the chief of staff said today. He said that we let the boss down. That's their job. Their job is to protect the president.
Hey.
How you doing? Get some napkins, too, will you?
Jack, we got napkins? I'll get some napkins.
All right.
Yeah.
Got it? Hey, you!
Hey.
Yeah, thanks. Give me some napkins.
All right.
Thanks.
We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
What are you laughing at?
Hey.
All right, it's 7:47.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. It's Monday night. It's now Tuesday morning. And that means that we've gotten through Monday. And I don't know why Monday is hard, but it just is, you know.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, man? Like, you take a day off, it's good.
2 days is not enough. It just isn't enough. For me, I don't know, some guys, they can do more, or they can do more on less, but I need more time off. I don't know. But Monday rolls around, and it's like I've just started getting relaxed, and here's Monday. It's kind of like vacations, and this is not a function of anything other than just, I guess, who I am, but I've always taken 1 week vacations. I've never had the guts, except for one time in the last 2 years. I went to the Caribbean. That was in 2010, 2 years ago. I went to the Caribbean for 2 weeks because I had that opportunity. But I usually have only taken 1 week, and that's it. 1 week is not any kind of a vacation. It's fine, but you can't really unwind, man. You've got to have, I've found now, 2 weeks. Because that two-week vacation I took down there in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, that was a beautiful thing, man. I mean, I really chilled out, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, that and all the booze.
No, it's not the booze. I wasn't a teetotaler or anything, but no, it's just you get used to not working. That's what it's all about. That's what you're supposed to do. Is suddenly, I feel what it's like to have your day to yourself and not have to go anywhere or do anything. But I've never had really, other than that one time, I've never had the guts to take 2 weeks off. I just have never wanted to do that, you know. Any time we take away from the radio show now has to do with TV jobs and stuff. But I'll tell you, of all the places that I've been, that it was worth the 2 weeks, it was St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I got to tell you, man, I've never been to a more beautiful place in my life. And there's plenty of places that are beautiful, but this place was the real deal. I think the thing that shocked me more than anything else, as I told you, was the fact that it was the Caribbean. The Caribbean, I've never liked the Caribbean. Never in my life, because I don't think the people are all that friendly. In fact, I think the people are downright rude in the Caribbean. When somebody said, you know, let's go down to the St. Vincent and the Grenadines, I was very skeptical. But I thought, what the hell? So because it was a resort hotel, and I figure they can't screw up, otherwise you know, they're going to get fired. No,
Well, it's true, though.
Well, okay. But in any event. And the guy I met, it was very interesting, went down to this hotel I went to, I got to tell you about. Because it's nuts. The story's nuts. I go down to this island in the country of St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Now, who's he?
What do you mean, who's he?
St. Vincent.
It's the name of the country, man. It's the island. It's the main island, St. Vincent, and the Grenadines are a bunch of little smaller islands. And way, way to the south is Grenada, see? But it's a different country, but it's kind of called, you know, the Grenadines, Grenada.
That part of the Grenadines?
No, man. What I just told you is it's not, but it's out. And then there is what the hell is that one country everybody makes fun of? It's a bunch of island nations. It's called the Eastern Caribbean. The Eastern Caribbean has its own economic union. It has its own. There is a Eastern Caribbean economic union where they share currency, and they have they're all the English speaking islands, and they have a common market, and it's very, very smart. It's something that the Caribbean countries have wanted to do for a long time, but they've never had the political unity. If they could form a Caribbean economic union like Europe has and so on and so forth, they would be an actual real force. They would be an economic force that, you know, could do some real good for their people, and at the same time they would be a player on the international stage. But it hasn't happened yet. Part of the Caribbean has formed this economic union. St. Vincent and the Grenadines are a part of that. And when you go to the country, it's a beautiful place. The people are very, very warm, and why wouldn't you be living in paradise the way they do? But before you get there, you take a plane from Miami, or you can take it from Atlanta. It depends on where you're coming from. I think some people actually flew in from, I think there might be a direct flight from Chicago, but you got to land in Aruba, okay?
Yeah, I hear Aruba's pretty bitching.
No, it ain't. No. Not from what I saw of Aruba. What I saw of Aruba, it was, not Aruba, Barbados. That was it. The Barbados. Barbados, are the rudest bastards I ever met in my life. And we landed there, and not only was it a cluster, you know what, man, trying to figure out how the hell to get through. I never went through customs more times in my life than in that stupid, messed up country. Because you get off the plane, you're going through the immigration, then you got to go into the thing, and then you go back through immigration, and then, oh, yeah, I got to go through customs again. Like 15 different times I had to go through this, and nobody's going to help you with anything. Nobody knows anything. Nobody wants to answer any questions. You know, to hell with you people, man. And I was reminded of why the hell it was that I didn't want to go to that stinking part of the world in the first place. But then we take this little, I told you, this one engine, it's a two-engine prop.
That doesn't scare me.
No, it was beautiful, man. It was fantastic. It was a two-engine prop. It took off from Barbados, and you fly an hour. You're flying out over the most gorgeous water you ever saw in your life. It's all turquoise. You're looking down at coral reefs. You're looking off in the distance, and there's these islands, man, that, you know, you don't know. It's like palm trees. Oh, it's fantastic. And, you know, it goes very quickly. You're taking pictures, and...
I hear a really loud old plane, though.
It's very loud. You know, you're flying on a prop job, you're the... really freaking loud. And then you see your little landing strip. You see your island that you're going to land at, this little Union Island. And the pilot did a big U-turn... And he came right in low, right between two mountains, and boom, we hit this little airstrip, just as beautiful as you want. And, of course, at the end of that airstrip is, you know, it goes into ocean, so you're...
I bet you were sweating that.
Well, only because I don't know what, you know, I didn't know what, but it's, of course, it stopped. And
but if it didn't?
What do you mean, what if it didn't?
What do you mean, what if it didn't? If it didn't, I'm going to be in the water.
Yeah, if it didn't, you'd be going swimming, huh?
Yeah, I guess so, bud. What if it didn't? Anyway, so yeah, it stopped, and we got out. We went through the customs there, which was about as simplest thing you've ever. It's one lady at a desk, you know. And hi, how are you? Welcome to say. Well, thank you very much. Is that your thing? Okay, you're done. Thanks. I mean, whatever. And got into a golf cart. The dude takes us down to a bar, and there's the boat. So there's a boat that's going to take you over to this hotel, but there's also a bar there. So I get it. All right, it's time to start spending money. And
yeah, they're going to expect you to spend a little bit of money.
I don't mind spending money that way at all. Believe you me. I got off that plane. I wanted a drink. And we started to, you know, tipple a few drinks, got on the thing, and took off, man. And that was the beginning of something beautiful. But the island, I got to tell you this about this guy. It was an American. An American who came down there and built this hotel himself. And he planted the palm trees himself, and he did this stuff himself, you know, with a construction crew. And, I mean, this was a hand-built hotel. And the guy's story is like something out of the Heart of Darkness. I mean, he's this American guy who is a sailor and brought his family down there. But gradually his morality and his mind started to go because the cat, while he's building this hotel... And he's obviously making friends with the locals, and he's brought his wife down there, and I think he brought some kids down there with him. But gradually, he began to cohabitate with one or two of the native women, too, you know?
What do you mean, with his wife there?
Yeah, with his wife is there. And suddenly, it became something, like I said, like right out of the Heart of Darkness, you know?
What do you mean, the Heart of Darkness? Like the jungle all rotted his brain up?
Yeah, that'll happen.
What do you mean it'll happen, man?
Oh, no, I'm not saying the jungle rotted his brain. It's like, you know, it's like that story of Conrad. You know, he went into the jungle and suddenly he just became a maniac. I'm not saying the jungle does it to you. I'm saying that being away from any kind of civilization, no matter where you are, you can turn a little bit kind of rat, you know? And this guy let his mind and his morality just sort of drift, so he's sleeping with these native women, he's cohabitating. He put his wife in one of the bungalows on the beach. And here's the sad part of this. This cat had a million-dollar idea, and he had this million-dollar property that he sort of had going. And he was getting interest from companies to buy it from him. Big hotels were coming in, and big investors... Not necessarily the big hotel chains, but guys with money and guys that knew about resort hotel management and knew how to, you know, turn this thing into like the really sterling gold property. But right now, they were offering this guy some serious change. He butchered the whole thing up.
Why?
Because he insisted with any deal that he be retained as the property manager.
Oh, so he gets to keep his job on a hotel.
So he could stay there. He could live there, yeah. And nobody went for it. And the guy wound up selling to the gentleman that I met. I met this guy one night. We were having drinks. Very nice guy, an American from Chicago, who owns about five or six real sweet boutique resort hotels around the world. You know, a guy in his 60s. Nice guy, very classy guy. I wouldn't call a guy, you know, stuffy. Just a regular American businessman. And we were talking about this. He says, you know, I said, well, do you mind me asking? He says, well, I gave him a price and they took it. Because the guy, by that point, realized he'd messed up. And he'd passed up some fantastic deals.
So he had to sell it cheaper?
Oh, yeah. By the time this dude came in, he lowballed him. And he told me, I did. I lowballed a guy. I says, I mean, what do you want me to do? I'm a businessman. And he screwed up. And so I think what happened was the bread that he made from this guy that bought it went to paying off lawyers. It went to paying off of lawsuits. It I don't think he saw dime one, you know. And this is what becomes of brilliance. You know, these guys with these great ideas, but they there's no follow through. You know,
well, I mean, he built the hotel. Do you know what the kind of money they were offering?
Who was offering?
The guys before.
They were offering really good money, man. They were offering seriously good money that was going to get him out of hock, was going to pay off these lawsuits, and he's going to have a nice piece of change left. They were, you know, but he kept insisting, I want to be property manager. I want to stay here. I want you to guarantee. No. Until finally his ass was. And the guy that I spoke with, the gentleman who owns the place now. I think he knew this guy's financial, you know, he was a good businessman. He knew this guy's financial situation. He knew what this cat's weaknesses were. He knew he could lowball him. And he did. And the guy made just enough money to get his ass out of hock, but that was it. But he was a brilliant man. He saw this island. He saw the potential. He built this hotel. I saw the water processing plant that he built. I saw the pumps that he put in. I saw all the stuff this guy put in, and he didn't get anything out of it at the end. So let that be a lesson. Something, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, let that be a lesson. Don't build a hotel on an island and then sleep with the native women.
Yeah, and then wait for the right price that never comes along.
Yeah, that's right. In other words, if your life is just like that, guys.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more of these scintillating, marvelous tales to tell here in our News and Information Hour. Just remember, don't ever live your life like the guy that built that hotel down there on that island and slept with the native women. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
It is a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, our website, philhenryshow.com. Head over, get a backstage pass, and watch the show as well as listen to it. We're on live streaming video every single show. We have our Phil TV and HD cranking, and you can watch and you can, you know, make up your mind. You know, am I a mental case or what? Speaking of being a mental case, I mentioned that Paul Gilmartin had me on his podcast, which is called The Mental Health Happy Hour. You must check out Paul Gilmartin's podcast. It's quite an impressive show. He's got fans all over the world. And Paul's a comic, but his podcast is a serious effort at talking to people, people in the arts, I guess, in entertainment, about real, you know, their issues. You know, how were you raised? What was your relationship with your mom? It's you know, you have to agree to go on the show. And I thought, oh, that'd be kind of cool to do. So it was fun, and it was cool to talk about it. I've never thought, you know, other than with a head shrinker, when would you ever have the opportunity to talk about a lot of this stuff? And I also was able to get into the background of our radio show and how I came about developing all of the characters. So that'll be in a couple of weeks. It's called the Mental Health Happy Hour. So check that out. All right. Don't forget to visit our souvenir shop, too. The brand new, not to take advantage of a bad situation, because we did have our hoodies out before the whole George Zimmerman thing. But we do have hoodies. It's the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie.
Check it out. Okay. The tax deadline has passed, man. Okay?
Yeah, right there. See?
I know. It says April 16th. What is the story here?
Well, just let people know.
Okay. Hey, you guys, you're late with your taxes, bud.
Yeah, well, they're late now.
Yeah, I know they're late. You know, just you get an extension and you're going to be good, okay? If you didn't get the extension, well, then I guess you're going to have to pay, you know?
Yeah, you didn't pay, like, for a long time, right?
Well, now, who asked you to tell everybody that?
Well, I mean, you were talking about it.
Yeah, what do you think, like, people don't know?
No, what do you mean, do I think people don't know? I didn't ask you guys or authorize you guys to tell anybody about my tax history. If you don't mind.
Yeah, but you think you probably don't think your stuff smells.
Yeah, you think you're farting lilacs. And it,
will you shut up? Now that you've, as Oliver Hardy used to say, now that you've taken them into our confidence, there was 4 or 5 years there, man. We've all done it. If we haven't all done it, we're all gonna do it. There were 4 or 5 years. I just didn't file my income tax. And I was sweating it. But one of those things came through town. At the time, I was in Minneapolis, and it was many years. Well, you know, it's going on 20 years ago now. And the IRS blew through town with their IRS carnival, which they basically said, if you are delinquent in filing, the Internal Revenue Service is in town to provide for you a grace period. We're going to, you know, grant you a grace period or however. And we have our IRS guys that are there and they'll do your taxes. And I thought that's as good a chance as I'm going to get.
You go down and do it?
Yeah, I did. And I went, it was in St. Paul, and I went into this office where there were, I don't know, probably a half a dozen to a dozen IRS agents there. And I said, hi, I haven't filed in this many years. Okay, Mr. Andrew, blah, 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 boom. Make a long story short, I mean, I finally got my taxes caught up on, but I owed bread, you know.
Yeah, they give you a payout, right?
They give you a payment plan, yeah. And I think about it now, I couldn't owe that much money because if I was able to take care of it with a payment plan of, I think it was $400 or $500 a month, it couldn't have been that much, you know. But I wasn't earning that much money in those days. Nowadays, you know, I earn a little bit more money, but I also get these big, fat-ass tax returns.
Yeah, I saw that one check you got.
What do you mean you saw it?
I mean...
Yeah. What are you doing, buddy? You opening the mail?
No, you open it up and left it laying out there.
No, I don't leave any checks laying out no place. Where'd you guys see it?
Well, maybe it was...
Oh, man, I'm going to have you guys... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn that security camera on again.
No, I swear to God, somebody showed it to me.
Well, I didn't show it to you. In any event, I get a better tax return. But be that as may, the only point that I'm trying to make here, folks, is, you know, do your stinking taxes and then also find, you know, a good accountant and incorporate if you have to and, you know, all those things.
What's the good thing about incorporating?
If you have a corporation, then it's the corporation and it's not you. The corporation has all this money, and the corporation that is your corporation pays you a salary. And the salary that you, the individual, gets is going to be a lot less, obviously, or it should be less than what the corporations do. You never want to just gut your corporation every freaking paycheck. So you take your paycheck and you pay your taxes on that, and then the corporate taxes are paid quarterly. And it's a much better way of shielding your income. Plus, you can get a retirement thing going. So it's all, it's very, very cool. Things that are coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show this week, we'll be giving away a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. We're also going to give away some shot glasses. So check that out. We'll make an announcement on the website when we do that. We also have, another website for you to check out. I'll be giving you the name of that and exactly the significance of that and what you can do to have fun with that. But we have a second. Now, it won't be a subscription site. The primary site is always going to be this one. The primary Phil Hendry headquarters will be this one, and my BSP family will always be my BSP family. This is a way of getting more BSP family members. We'll hip you to where this particular site is and its particular function and, you know, in the days to come. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show until tonight at 10 on the West Coast, 1 on the East Coast. Have a nice day.
Bye, everybody.
Phil Hendry.